Welcome to Wellness Rebranded, the podcast where a dietitian, a personal trainer, and a mental health therapist get together to explore health and wellness from three different healing perspectives. I'm Elizabeth, registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor.
I'm Maria, licensed mental health therapist.
And I'm Tara, personal trainer. We believe in finding ways to nourish a healthy relationship with our mind and body, eating for well-being, not weight, finding joy in moving our bodies, and embracing and understanding our emotions. We are here to help you redesign your relationship with food, fitness, and yourself.
How great would it be if you got science-based guidance from qualified professionals instead of trying out conflicting, overhyped, and unproven trends?
If that sounds as awesome to you as it does to us, join us every week as we dig into strategies to enrich and enhance our day-to-day life and health.
And let's start rebranding your wellness journey.
This episode is brought to you in part by our affiliate relationship with Audible. You may not know this about the three of us, but we are big time readers and we love Audible, especially Elizabeth. She's a big fan of the audiobooks.
I love, love, love audiobooks. I have one going all the time and I get so many books in that way. Makes me so happy to listen while I'm doing other things.
Yeah, it really does make the time pass quickly when you're like washing dishes and also listening to something awesome. So guys, if you want to take advantage of this, we have a free 30-day trial. If you go to our link, audibletrial.com/wellnessrebranded, you will get one credit or two credits if you're already a Prime member, good for any premium selection title, and you get to keep those. You'll also get the entire Audible catalog of podcasts, books, guided wellness, originals, and you'll have unlimited listening and it will help us keep the show going for you. So please check out our link in the show notes. Welcome back to another episode of Wellness Rebranded. I'm here with Maria and Elizabeth. And today we are going to be talking about emotional eating.
Good topic.
Elizabeth, this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is something that comes up so often when people reach out to me or when I'm working with clients or when I put out, you know, polls asking people like, what do you want me to talk more about? Emotional eating inevitably comes up. And so I have lots of great stuff planned to chat about it today. So first, I think we should just define it for people. What is emotional eating? Essentially, it's turning to food when you're not hungry to cope with your emotions, such as stress, anger, sadness. I would even put maybe boredom in there. It can also be celebratory emotions, or I was trying not to use the word positive because I know no emotion is negative or positive, Maria.
Okay. Good job, Elizabeth. Good job.
That's great.
Yes. Or using, you know, rewarding yourself with food, that would all be considered emotional eating. And I think that the biggest point that I want to get across right at the outset is that diet culture pathologizes emotional eating. It demonizes it. It makes us feel like if we're emotionally eating, that we're doing something really bad or that we're bad. And we can get the idea that it's just this sort of terrible thing. What I always share with my clients is all eating is inherently emotional from my perspective, or just about all of it. We all have emotions and feelings that contribute to our food choices and how we eat. And then also just think about how we use food, right? We use food to mark traditions, for celebrations, for funerals, to signify culture. Like there just inherently is emotion wrapped up in food. So I think just first and foremost, shifting how we think about emotional eating is a really important step to do. So before we go any further, I just want to pause and get you guys to jump in. Any thoughts on that?
One thing that came to my mind is also how much of these behaviors are learned. Right? Like, for example, in the Latin culture, everything is fixed with food. Are you sad? Let's make you some food. Are you happy? Let's make you some food. Are you, is your birthday? We're going to eat. Is everything is around food. So in a way you learn that whatever is happening, you're either going to celebrate it or you're going to fix your feelings through food. And
I mean, think about it even more specifically, like a child falls and skins their knees and they're feeling sad or scared. And we maybe jump in, do you want a lollipop? Mm-hmm. Right. And that's like, to me, a very specific instance of teaching a child to use food to cope with emotions, which I mean, if you do that once in a while, probably not a big deal. Right. But if it's the primary way that, you know, you're trying to paper over a child's emotions, you might definitely be teaching them to, to do that.
That's interesting. As a mother of a toddler.
So I think the other thing that I would like to get across is food is a way of coping with emotions, and it's not necessarily bad. So if I've had a really bad day and, you know, it just may make me happy to go out for ice cream with my family in that day, I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong with that. Emotional eating in and of itself is not necessarily a problem. I think where it can become problematic potentially is if it's your primary or your only way of coping with emotions, if you're doing it more often or in ways that you don't feel good about, then that it might be a situation where, sure, we can talk through that and come up with some different strategies. So I always like to say to my clients specifically, the goal isn't necessarily for you to stop eating emotionally. It's for you to build a robust toolbox of other ways of coping with your emotions and to remove the guilt and shame around the times when you may be eating emotionally. There's a dietitian, Rachel Hartley, out there. I've seen her saying she likes to think of emotional eating as almost like a Band-Aid that, you know, imagine there are times when you can put a Band-Aid and that's a perfectly fine way to address a wound, right? But there are other times when a wound needs more care than that. And I think that is a pretty good analogy for how we can think about emotional eating. And I think diet culture kind of throws all these supposed tools at us for how to stop eating emotionally, right? Drink water, distract yourself, just don't eat after a certain time of day, or don't bring certain foods into your home.
Right after dinner.
Yeah, brush your teeth. I actually Googled it before the episode because I was curious what some of the quote unquote hacks for emotional eating might be. And the one that I thought was particularly interesting was peel an orange. Like, I don't know that that's going to help anyone stop eating emotionally, but that was interesting.
Never heard of that.
Peel an orange? Yeah. I eat oranges every day.
Yeah. I don't really know the thinking behind that.
Elizabeth, would it be fair to say, I have clients that ask me about emotional eating pretty frequently, and it seems to me like emotional eating and binge eating are kind of closely tied.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. So one of the things that I wanted to be sure to point out is, you know, I always tell people the 10 principles of intuitive eating, they work synergistically together. So one of them actually is cope with your emotions with kindness. But when I'm working with clients, of course, like I am using the 10 principles of intuitive eating, many other tools too, but I think of it as almost like a hierarchy, right? And what I mean by that is, for example, if someone is not getting enough to eat, let's say they're in a diet mindset and they're restricting and depriving themselves of a lot of food, that very often leads to binge eating or feeling out of control around food. And so a lot of times people are experiencing that and they are thinking that they're emotionally eating, but actually what they have is a very natural and normal response to restriction and deprivation. So a very nuanced approach is, I first want to make sure that you're getting enough to eat so that you're not eating in a way that doesn't feel good out of restriction and deprivation and confusing it with emotional eating. And there is a difference between binge eating and emotional eating, although of course binge eating can be very emotional, right? And emotionally charged. Does that?
Yeah, that makes a
good sense. Job of explaining the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing, once, you know, if I'm like thinking about this from the nuanced approach that I would take with someone, first, you know, I want to make sure you're getting enough to eat and that we're getting you out of that restriction, deprivation, setting you up for the pendulum swings mode. But then I want to help you distinguish between physical hunger and emotional hunger. Because there's a big difference, right? Emotional hunger, physical hunger tends to come on more gradually. Emotional hunger often can come on more suddenly. Sometimes emotional hunger may feel like it needs to be satisfied right away, where physical hunger can wait a little bit, depending, you know, not if you're like at a one on the hunger scale, but there are other differences between physical hunger and emotional hunger. Emotional hunger is not going to be satisfied by having a full stomach, right? But physical hunger will be. Often that emotional hunger, because of all the diet culture conditioning, can come with a lot of feelings of guilt or shame, or, you know, being not feeling in control. Physical hunger hopefully doesn't feel the same way if you're getting enough to eat. So that's where the attunement, the body attunement piece comes in, which of course we talk about a lot in intuitive eating.
So important, because I'm thinking, yeah. It happens to me sometimes that I feel physically full. Like I know that I ate maybe half an hour ago, and here comes like that. I feel like the need to eat again. And because of going through workshops with you and learn from you, I stop myself and ask, am I really hungry? What am I about to do? And it's coming from where? And I realize many times it's boredom or it's anxiety. In my case, it's when I'm nervous about something, then I feel that I need to eat something, right? But I know physically I don't need it. So that's little by little how I've started to see the difference on when am I doing to nurture my body, you know, physically or emotionally.
Yeah, such
a
great... I feel
like I'm almost exactly the same way, Maria. Like, I may be satiated, but I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's, I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, in a way, it's emotional hunger, right? I always tell people there's a difference between physical fullness and actually being satisfied with your meal, emotionally satisfied. And in order to land on your sort of happy stopping place with food, you really need both of those things. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's a little bit different than what most people are thinking when they're talking about emotional eating. I think it's also really helpful to begin to notice when you're doing it. And in the beginning, that may be noticing afterwards. And then you can practice kind of moving that up so that you're noticing sooner. Some of the ways that I might help my clients do this is by helping them, or, you know, having them keep a food and mood journal where we really can start to look at patterns of, you know, what you were eating and what you were feeling, and start to do it that way. Then we might take it a step further and really, let's see if we can notice some of your triggers, right? What are some of your common triggers? Because everybody's might be a little bit different.
This got to know what they are. It might be a good thing for them to jot down in the habit tracker and self-care journal that we're offering in the show notes.
100%. I was actually going to suggest that at the end, that some of the tools we're providing you in that free resource may be helpful if you are someone who's struggling or trying to sort through emotional eating. I love that you brought that up. So yeah, I would want you to start to begin to notice when you're doing it. See if you can start to notice some of your common triggers or situations that lead to emotional eating that doesn't feel good. And then from there, the approach that I take is really an add-in approach. So I said at the beginning, I'm not necessarily trying to help someone stop eating emotionally, but I want to help you have lots of other ways of dealing with your emotions beyond food. So of course, Maria, like going to a therapist is a great way to do that, to get in touch with your emotions. But also we can start building your self-care toolbox. And this is something that I do very intentionally with my clients on the front end, is like, we look at a bunch of, you know, just as an example, what might be helpful for you when you're feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And we brainstorm some specific tools that they can try and experiment with when they're feeling lonely, for example. And we might do that for a range of different scenarios. And then you get to begin experimenting. Maria, I see you shaking your head.
Yes, because you know what I'm thinking, Elizabeth? We might even have to, for many of us, to go a few steps back. Many people do not know how to identify their emotions.
Yes.
We can start there. Such an important work to know how does loneliness or do loneliness look on you or feels for you or sadness or anxiety or happiness or anger, because that attunement with your emotions is going to be really helpful for emotional eating as well. Because then if you can identify that you're feeling this way, and then at the same time, you're having these, how you say that craving for food or that thought that the way to minimize that emotion is by going getting some food, then you can start making that connection easier, right? So I feel that a very important step on not only on nutrition or even personal fitness and psychology, go through the work of learning how to identify your emotions and get connected with them, really connect with that feeling, because we are taught to avoid feelings. We're in the avoid our feelings society, I feel, right? We just want to hide it under the rug, and that's not helpful.
Yeah, I think it's such a great point. Is it Brené Brown who talks about most people can identify something like only like four or five emotions, and it's, you know, like happiness, sadness, anger, and I forget what the other one or two are, but really there's, I don't know how many dozens of individual emotions, but our emotional, a lot of people's emotional intelligence actually stops at those first, or emotional awareness perhaps is a better way of saying that.
Yeah. You've intrigued me, because now I'm like, I don't think I could name more than like 10.
Interesting. So I love using those emotional word wheels with my clients. It's often a tool that I'll share to do exactly the work that you're talking about, Maria.
And here's the tricky part. Some emotions can hide other emotions. So sometimes you feel that you're angry, let's say, and you're not really feeling angry. Behind that anger, there's humiliation or frustration or feeling hurt. So is that work of really learning how to navigate your emotions and going a little deeper and being okay with it. It's part of you, right?
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah. And then there's lots of tools that we can share. We've talked about many of them. Building that self-care toolbox is a really, really valuable step. Mm-hmm. Mindful eating, you know, it's not going to solve all kind of emotional eating distress, but it is definitely a helpful tool in the toolbox, for sure. I think mindfulness in general is a really important skill to be able to pause in the moment. And as you say, Maria, identify what you're feeling, notice the experiences, and sort of just be able to be with it. And, you know, there are other very specific tools that I often share with my clients. But I guess from my perspective, what I would hope one main takeaway that people would have from today is definitely to remove any guilt and shame around it, to help you really sit back. Now that we've had this conversation, where do you land on the emotional eating spectrum? Like, does it feel problematic to you? Does it feel like your primary, main, only way of coping with emotions? Is it happening more often in a way that you don't like? And is it possible that you're confusing emotional eating with deprivation-driven eating or restrictive eating or physical hunger? I think those would be two great things that listeners might be able to think through after today. And then also perhaps just to reframe your mindset around it of, what do you need to add in instead of, how do I need to stop emotionally eating? I think could be really helpful.
Yes.
I love that question. What do I need to add in? Because it could be food, or it could be like self-care, or, you know, activity, or so many other things that would be helpful with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even just, you know, maybe it is, I need to add in getting in touch with my emotions, or I need to add in building that body attunement so that I can distinguish between physical and emotional hunger. So yeah, I mean, there's so many things that could be added in therapy, or, you know,
right. Maybe you're just starving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, it's very true. What do you think? Any last thoughts, questions?
I think this is a great topic and
so applicable.
Yes. I think it's an important one because a lot of people struggle with it, and there is a lot of sort of shaming and unhelpful information out there. So I would throw out an invitation to anyone out there listening. If this is something that you struggle with and you want help kind of digging deep and looking at those different layers, I would love to chat with you and either offer you my help or point you towards some resources. So, you know, feel free to reach out.
And Elizabeth, you can work with anyone, anywhere, right?
No, not necessarily. I am licensed in many states, and some states don't require licensing, and some, it's not necessarily true that I can work with anyone anywhere, but if I can't, I can point you towards the right resource.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you very much, and thank you everyone for listening. If you liked this episode or any episode, tell your friends. Do a wellness rebranded podcast party. Get together with some friends and listen to some episodes. We will be here with you every week. Tune in for our next episode, and we will connect with you then.
Bye. Bye.
If you're local to the Annapolis area, join me on my new initiative, the Emotional Fitness Studio, a place where everyone can enjoy monthly in-person wellness workshops guided by different local providers and as affordable as only $10 per event. These interactive, wisdom-packed, and empowering sessions will prove that taking care of our mental health doesn't have to be a tough nut to crack. Check out all the offerings and register on the events section on my website, thecoachingtherapist.com.
Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with me outside of this podcast, you can find me on Instagram at coaching_therapist.
I'm Elizabeth. You can find me at Elizabeth Harris Nutrition or in my Facebook group, Health and Healing with Intuitive Eating.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Tara De Leon Fitness. Guys, if you loved this episode or any of our other episodes, we would love it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us get the non-diet word out to the rest of the world. So please leave us a review.
Yes, thank you.